Good morning. I will be reading from Numbers 12, verses 1 to 8. That's Numbers 12, 1 to 8. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, "Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you." So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Graham. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for all the ways in which you have reached towards us and all the ways in which you speak to us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you would open up the word to us this morning, but also to the possibilities of new ways of engaging with us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you fall asleep during this sermon, I hope you find it to be a very rewarding experience. Why do I say that? Well, because God speaks through dreams. If you doubt that, then I suggest that you try and stay awake and listen to the sermon. If, however, you all fall asleep, then it's me that needs waking up. So I just thought I'd say that. Anyway, dreams, that's the subject of our sermon series now going right up to the start of Lent. And today I'm going to try and set the scene with a biblical overview of the subject. Now, of course, not all dreams come from God. We dream because we dream, and they may be a complete nonsense. And that's really all you can say about it. But having said that, God spoke through numerous dreams in the Bible, and he still does it today. Right through the ages, God has spoken to people through their dreams, even now, even today. Take, for example, the experience of a man called Simon Trinder, who's an actor with the Royal Shakespeare Company. He once spoke of how a dream from God led him to faith. And he said this, "I'd grown up in an evangelical setting. My parents had adopted me at 2 months old, and they were both Christians. Around the age of 14, I opted to walk away from the faith. I thought it was irrelevant. I trained at drama school and thought my career was everything. I did lots of shows around the world and was having a great time, but always looking for the next high, drinking and dabbling with drugs. Years ago, I'd come off stage after a very tiring show, and that night I had the most extraordinary dream. I was standing watching myself as a baby in the arms of Jesus Christ, and in front of me was my biological father. I'd seen pictures of my dad, so I recognized him, and Jesus was presenting me to him. There was a glory light emanating from Jesus. The feeling was literally out of this world. The best way I could describe it is nuclear love. I woke immediately and said out loud, 'That was God. I had experienced the points of life. The Bible promises we will be in his presence forever. Well, it sounds boring, but this was wonderful. I thought, if this is what he's talking about, take me now. If this is what relationship with God is like at its purest, every knee will have to bow because it's so, so phenomenal. I felt the meaning of the dream was, I created you. And as an adopted child, I've had a lot of issues with belonging, like, who am I? Am I a reject? Am I a mistake? And through the dream, God was saying, you're planned. I put you here. I'm responsible for you. No one would ever, ever berate themselves or doubt themselves or criticize themselves if they knew how valued they were by God. A year later, I started attending church, but was still thinking, I'm a mistake and I'm not good enough. And driving down the motorway to Stratford-upon-Avon, I was praying, God, please, can I trust this dream? A car came right in front, and the number plate was T-R-U-S-T, trust. I literally stopped breathing for a moment. I felt I'd been spoken to clearly. I also later learned that my father's Arabic name, Helmi, which was given to me when I was born, it means dreamer. So let me say a few basic things about dreams in Scripture. Firstly, God speaks through dreams for different purposes. Amongst other things, God spoke through dreams to give people such things as guidance. Guidance through a dream. God told Joseph there was no need to divorce the Virgin Mary because she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and the child would be the saviour of the world. Of course, it was Jesus. And then we have warnings. Later, Joseph was told to take Mary and baby Jesus to Egypt for safety. And similarly, the wise men were told later in a dream to avoid King Herod when they went home and to go back by a different route. And then we have encouragement. Earlier in the Old Testament, the Israelites were once led by quite a timid young man called Gideon. They were in conflict with a nation around that was called the Midianites. And then one night, God told Gideon, presumably in a dream, to go and spy on the Midianite camp. And then it says this in the book of Judges. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley and bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. No wonder Gideon was encouraged. He just found out that he's going to win the war and his nation would be saved. And as we saw, it was revealed to him by God through a dream that one of his enemies had. And then we come to Revelation. Above all else, perhaps, we see God revealed his great plans for the future through dreams. Some great events and turning points in history were announced by God through dreams. Through a dream, God told Jacob he would father a nation, Israel, and that he and his offspring would bless all the peoples of the earth. That's in Genesis 28, verses 12 to 15. Through a dream, King Solomon was blessed with great wisdom to rule over Israel and to establish the nation. And we read that in 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 15. And through a dream, Daniel, a man of prayer, was shown the coming of Jesus in his glory and his coming kingdom. That's in Daniel chapter 7. And so then we see that God spoke through dreams for different purposes. And next, God speaks through dreams in different ways. When we see dreams in Scripture, we see God working in different ways. There are different types of dreams. Sometimes he spoke very directly to the dreamer, like Solomon we just heard about. And sometimes he spoke through an intermediary, a representative, a messenger. You know, the birth of Jesus was accompanied by a huge amount of activity by angels. You know, when God gets going, the angels get going, okay? And the birth then, we see then that the angels appeared to shepherds to give the news of Jesus' birth. But three times an angel from God appeared in the dreams of Joseph to tell him what to do as the events unfolded. But what we might find particularly interesting is that both in the dreams in Scripture and in our own dreams, in fact, in dreams throughout history, God often uses non-verbal communication to get through to people. He uses pictures and objects, for example. You take Joseph in the Old Testament, not to be confused with the other Joseph, the husband of Mary in the New Testament. You know, Joseph had several dreams from God through which God foretold Joseph's future. Let's pick up the story in Genesis chapter 37 from verse 5. This is the story kind of depicted in Joseph and the amazing Technicolor dream coat. But it's best to read it actually in Scripture. Genesis 37. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Well, your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." Then it goes on in verse 9. Then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" Well, actually the answer was yes, but that was to come. This is about God communicating with Joseph through his dreams, but without using words. God spoke to Joseph through pictures, images of sheaves of corn, the sun, the moon and stars. And he didn't use his voice, and of course he certainly didn't encourage Joseph to then brag about the dreams either. In the end, the dreams came true, but only after Joseph had grown up and come to maturity. You know, and sometimes, let's get this, there's a long interval between having a dream from God and then experiencing the reality. Okay, so if we think we've got a dream from God, let's remember that the time frame could be quite long, quite big. So, Joseph saw dramatic and powerful pictures in his dreams from God. Pictures like that are not easily forgotten, and Joseph, of course, really needed to remember them. Why? Because from then on, his life went downhill as God got to work on his character. His flawed character needed working on, and our character, of course, is more important than our gifts and whatever prophetic revelation we may have. You know, somebody once said, one picture is worth 1,000 words, and how true it is. You know, in the news, the growing humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan has been much written about. But one picture on television of a starving and half-frozen child makes the point very vividly and unforgettably. And similarly, God often uses pictures to connect with us and to impress his thoughts upon us. And sometimes they're flashed across our minds in our dreams, just like the pictures on TV. Well, so far we've thought about the purpose of dreams from God and how dreams might differ. But let's now move on to think about the fact that God speaks through dreams and visions together. In Scripture, dreams and visions are coupled together. They go together like eggs and bacon and all that sort of thing. And we saw that in our reading earlier from the book of Numbers, where God declared, this is Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, that Graham read to us, "When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams." Okay, that's what God said. Now, of course, dreams and visions are really like two sides of the same coin. God speaks through dreams when we are asleep, and through visions when we are awake. Generally speaking, there's more recorded dreams in the Old Testament, and there's more visions in the New Testament. But then again, dreams and visions sometimes overlap. For example, we read this of Daniel, book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 1. It says that in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. Perhaps he was half awake, had a dream and got stirred and had a vision, who knows. But both things went together. And today some Christians have both dreams and visions from God, which are linked together. You take, for example, Jackie Pullinger. You may have heard of her and her work in the Walled City in Hong Kong. You know, Jackie Pullinger has spent over 50 years working as a missionary in Hong Kong. In 1988, she was awarded the MBE for her work amongst the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the gang members, and all the needy people in the Kowloon Walled City, which I'm glad to say has now gone. But it all began for Jackie when she was quite young. One day she had a dream in which she saw family members looking at a map of Africa. And someone told her the place that she was looking at was Hong Kong, which of course it wasn't. Hong Kong is in Asia. But when she woke up, Jackie knew that she was called by God to go to Hong Kong. Later on, her attempts to become a missionary in Hong Kong ended in frustration. So understandably, she thought that she got the dream wrong and God wasn't saying that. But then things changed. Whilst praying in a quiet village church, she had a vision from God. And in the vision, she saw a desperate woman holding out her arms for help, a lady in Hong Kong. And then she realised how much the people in Hong Kong needed to know the love of Jesus. You see, the vision enforced the dream. It followed it through, and Jackie followed it through. Eventually, she went to Hong Kong at the age of just 22, and the rest, as they say, is history. Well, so far, we've seen in Scripture how God speaks through dreams for different purposes and in different ways, and through dreams and visions together. But next, God also speaks through the dreams of non-believers. Again, it's amazing how God uses all kinds of people in all kinds of situations and speaks through their dreams. Take, for example, a man called Abimelech, King Abimelech. He was a king at the time of Abraham who wanted to marry a beautiful lady called Sarah. But what he didn't know was that she was already married to this man called Abraham. Now, Abraham feared that he would be murdered so the king or anyone else could marry his wife. So Abraham said that she was only his sister. Actually, it was a half-truth because Sarah was his half-sister. But fortunately, God exposed the truth when he warned Abimelech in a dream not to marry her. Well, so much for Abraham. He was a great man of faith. We looked at him as the patriarch. You know, he trusted God for the future. He knew where he was going, as it were, in life. But in the day-to-day, in this situation, his faith faltered and he compromised. And I think perhaps to a degree we can all relate to that position. However, as we know, God used King Abimelech's dream to save the situation. Then we have Pharaoh. Pharaoh in Genesis chapter 41. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, once had two disturbing dreams. Firstly, he dreamt that seven fat cows were devoured by seven scrawny ones. And secondly, he dreamt seven plump ears of grain were devoured by seven thin ones. And only one person in all Egypt could interpret this sort of dream riddle. Not the magicians, not the courtiers of Pharaoh, not all the great and mighty people, but it was Joseph. He told Pharaoh that two dreams meant the same thing. There'd be 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. And so Joseph, because of his ability to interpret this dream, was made the prime minister, as it were, of Egypt. And he arranged the store of grain in the good years. And when the bad years came, and that dream came true, there was enough grain for all. In fact, all the nations in the known world got the grain that had been stored. And what an incredible blessing. It all resulted from these two amazing dreams and their interpretation by a true man of God, the right person in the right place at the right time, mature and spiritually gifted, working out what God is saying. And then we have Pontius Pilate's wife, Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. You know, when Pontius Pilate, when he sat in judgment over Jesus, his wife, Pontius Pilate's wife, sent him a message, and it read this. She said, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." Was she right? Or was she wrong? I think she was right. And you know, some men do well to listen to their wives. Okay, I'll just put that thought out there to you. But finally, let me make clear that God speaks through our dreams today. I've already touched on this a few times, and we'll say more at the end of this service sermon series. But let me say one thing which could be very important for some folks here today, or maybe if you're viewing into this service. Through dreams, God can bless you and me in the most surprising ways and on a very personal level in this whole area of healing, especially inner healing. For example, let me ask you, do you have recurring dreams? Do you often dream about something that's in your past? Well, possibly God is using those dreams to bring to the surface something that needs to be dealt with. There may be some past hurt that needs healing, or maybe something in your life that's been there years that needs to be put right. If so, talk to somebody after this service and ask for prayer. For all of us, it's actually a good idea to keep a record of our dreams. I mean, to start a journal or write about our dreams in our diaries. It may be there is something that God wants to reveal to us. A few days ago, Ruth and I, we woke up and we soon realised we'd had a dream about the same thing. It was actually a bird. It was an owl. I don't know why that was, but it happened. But it's sometimes good to talk about our dreams. It may be the case that God is actually trying to reveal something through a series of connected dreams, which is another reason for keeping a record. Can I add that if you think that God is speaking to you through a dream, that you are not responsible alone for deciding it really did come from God. Whether it really did come from God or not, others can prayerfully determine with you and do so in the light of what the Bible teaches. Remember again, the Word of God is our ultimate authority in all these matters. And we shall think a bit more about testing dreams and the source of our dreams at the end of this sermon series. So let me begin to close with a note of caution. Beware. Beware. Not all dreams are from God. Some dreams, however true they can seem, may have another source entirely. But let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Okay. Let me close with the words of the Apostle Peter in his first ever sermon. It was preached on the day of Pentecost, the day when the church, as we know it, began. He began by explaining the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the infant church, and he did so by quoting the words of the prophet Joel, who foresaw the amazing event, an event involving experiences which all Christians can have today. And quoting again Joel, Peter explained, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." That's Pentecost. And then what? "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams." Amen. Let it be so. And so, sweet dreams.